Downtown in Houlton and Hancock, light snow and 25 degrees at KBAR 102 and KBAR102.com. Periodically get to welcome into the program our state senator, Tom Casperson. Are you in the snow here or are you in the snow downstate this morning, Tom?
No, I'm still in the greater Upper Peninsula. I'm in Escanaba area right now. We're heading down to Lansing later this afternoon. We've got some of this clear out.
Well, yeah, drive carefully. I think they've closed the Mackinac Bridge because of high wind, so you might have to swim across.
Yeah, and it's not frozen anymore, so that's about all I could do.
Yeah, I think, though, that this is a great opportunity. This weather creates a great opportunity to bring together the two sides of the warring political factions that we're talking about. Because I think if you went to Lansing and introduced a joint resolution to try to straighten out this weather, I think you could get bipartisan support.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe I can give that a try this week. I don't know how far it'll go as far as changing anything, but...
Yeah, maybe on either side of the equation, of either the bipartisan or the weather.
Yeah, either side of the equation.
It has been a while since we've had an opportunity to talk. Let's catch up on a couple of big issues that have been in the news much lately. First of all, the situation at Michigan State, where, of course, Dr. Nassar was convicted on a number of accounts of some very egregious sexual assaults and behavior, and other people apparently now are also being targeted in this investigation. What has happened at the state legislative level to try to address this kind of situation and make sure that it doesn't happen again, either at Michigan State or any of other of our state universities?
Well, there's been a package of bills that were worked on, and there's quite a few in total. I can't recall the total number, but the package is sent out of the Senate and went over to the House is where it sits right now. It went out of the Senate, I would say, fairly quick. I unfortunately had some problems and ended up in a hospital down in Lansing and had to come home that week, so I did not get to vote on the package. So I've been telling people, out of the package, I would have probably been a no on the 30-year look back and the duty to report. And not because I thought that, you know, I didn't care about the victims or anything like that. And quite frankly, that's been the problem with this, is this is so serious. And what happened to those victims is so serious that as you're working on something legislatively, if there's some snags in it, where you might get this impression, if I say something, you know, I'm going to be against the victims, nobody wants to say anything. And so that was my concern. We weren't talking about it enough. It's in the House. My understanding is they are going to talk about it over there. The 30-year look back, you know, you could have people being accused that are already passed away, no chance whatsoever for them to defend themselves. And it just seems like that's a pretty long ways to go back. But again, if somebody's arguing that justice needs to be served, I can see him making the point. It just concerned me. And the duty to report, there are people that may have had some incident that they don't really want to go public with it, but they need to share with a confidant, just get it off their chest and move on with their life. And if they say something to somebody under that guidance, the way I interpret it, they now are bound to report it. And now you've kind of created a problem for people that don't want to go public. They just want to talk to somebody. They're not going to find anybody that's going to want to talk to them about it because they're going to be in trouble if they don't report it. And so that's, I just think we should have took a little more time with it. But that's the attempt. It's those type of things they're trying to fix.
Is it a case, and so often we have seen this, where all of a sudden, you know, something bad happens and there's a great need, a great feel for urgency in trying to address it, not only in terms of getting it addressed, but also to kind of save some political face?
Sure. I mean, and the problem is once you get in the middle of it, and because of this, especially this, because it's so serious, and it just kind of removes the ability to have a discussion about it, about all the aspects of what is the ramifications. If we pass this, it could sound good, but what's the ramifications? An example would be getting put on the sex registry, sexual offenders registry list. Sounded good when they first did it. Of course you want people that are, going after people in such a heinous way to be able to notify them, even when they get out. There's no guarantee they're going to stop. So that was the purpose behind it. Even after they've served their time, they're put on a list. So you at least are aware they're in your neighborhood. Well, then we found out that what we had missed was they called the Romeo and Juliet cases, where somebody was a little bit older, legal age, and the other person was just underage. It wasn't, it was consensual, but maybe a parent or something took action against the individual. And, you know, so as time went on, people started realizing, wait a minute, that might have went too far there. That person isn't a predator. They're not that way. It was something consensual, and it was an age prop. So that's been since fixed, but I don't see us being able to even think about those type of things because the emotion is so high, and that's why I think quick action probably wasn't the best action, at least in my opinion. People disagree with me on it, but I just think the emotions are so high on this right now. It's in the courts right now. The courts are dealing with this, and I think we need to let them do their job, and we could methodically go through what we're doing too and still get something done. I just don't know that we had to do it this fast.
All of the major universities in Michigan, Michigan Tech here included, have their own police forces. And those police forces respond to most incidents that take place on campus and even get involved in some incidents that take place involving students off campus. Is it a good idea to have those semi-private police forces in charge of cases such as this?
You know, I don't know, because you bring up a good point. And again, see, you're bringing up a good point that really wasn't discussed much as far as where we're heading. But it is a valid point to consider and what's at stake. And you would hope that everybody that goes into something like this, if they're investigating something, they go in without a bias, because everybody's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, as bad as it sounds. But that's how we're supposed to approach this stuff in our society. And so you need people that can separate themselves really from the issue and investigate and make sure that they get to, you know, the bottom as best they can, get to the bottom of what happened. And I don't know if it's a good question that if they're in the right position or not to do it, being loyal, you know, because they're really being employed by the university in this particular case. But see, that's part of the problem too, Todd. I think we're building up into a society that's become, I hate to say it, but almost a little bit judgmental, that there automatically must be a bias. And I don't like judging people like that, but it's, you know, that we should at least be able to have that conversation.
Well, and I can see why we want to jump in that direction in cases such as this. We don't want anybody to be the victim of sexual assault. That's a terrible thing for a victim to have to go through. And so we jump on these cases quickly, but we do need to remember that those who are accused are innocent until they are proven guilty. And I think maybe for a man, one of the most terrible things that could happen to them would be to be falsely accused of a crime such as this.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's not like this stuff hasn't happened. You know, the case with State is pretty clear-cut. Masters conceded, you know, it's not like he's fighting every case and he didn't do it. It appears he himself has become, he himself has said yes. So I don't know of every case, but I know in a lot of cases he's already confessed. So in that case, I get it. But again, what about those cases? I mean, you've got a case that could be a situation where somebody is mad at somebody, seriously mad over something they might have done to them, and concoct something. That's pretty serious business. And the person accused, if they were to be innocent, if we rush to judgment that quick, you're ruining their lives. And I will tell you that the rushing to judgment isn't just, even when I'm found innocent, doesn't help a whole lot, because there's that cloud that hangs over you no matter what. And there's always going to be that question. That's how serious this stuff is, both ways.
Which would speak to why we probably are best off not rushing to pass legislation.
No, and I would also, you know, continue to argue Michigan State's unique in that there's not a lot of question about that it did happen or didn't it happen. I don't, you know, I know it did based on what both sides have talked about, but to the level and to the depth of who's involved, that's a different ballgame. And quite frankly, at Michigan State right now, pretty lonely place, because it almost seems like everybody's being looked at as if they all knew and didn't respond. And again, I don't know whether they did or didn't. If they didn't, that's shameful. It should have been dealt with. But if at the same time, if they didn't, weren't aware of it, or if they did their part and didn't know to this level what was going on, okay, do we ruin their careers? And that's how bad this is, and it's tragic. And I can see why everybody's in fear of it in that regard. Your universities are trying to do the best they can to control it. The people inside are trying. There's a lot of people nervous, and I just keep emphasizing, I don't think this is something you want to move with lightning speed.
Is John Engler, the former governor, is he the right person to be leading Michigan State through this right now?
I don't know. I think the judgment on that is out yet. I've heard mixed reviews. You know, he can take the heat. You know, he's a tough guy, and he can come in and handle it. He's a guy that doesn't have any dog in the fight, in the sense he wasn't involved in any of this, and so they brought him in to kind of oversee what's going on. But I think in that position, you got to definitely be sensitive. And that might be the criticism of John Engler, is can he be sensitive enough to, you know, to really handle what's happening here and not be biased in the sense of he's only thinking about the university. I'm not saying that that's what he's doing. That's the criticism I've heard.
The other thing that has been much in the headlines since the last time we've talked has been firearms, school shootings. Tragedies have occurred, and a lot of people now are agitating toward additional limitations on firearm ownership and sales, better background checks and such. I know that you're very pro-firearm ownership. What do you think we need to do here in Michigan, and are we doing enough to protect our kids?
Yeah, I think we need to do more. I think what you're going to see is the one area that seems to be a neutral spot for both sides to come to is, and I want to say this up front, I feel terrible that we even have to do something like this, but we're going to have to fortify the schools. We're going to have to get them into a situation that they're a secured scenario, much like going into an airport. Any secured building, that's what they're going to have to be treated as. And, you know, I graduated in 1977. Back in those days, nobody had ever thought about even talking about something like this, because we didn't have these problems, not to this level, back in those days. And go all the way back to my grandparents' generation. They used to carry guns to school with them and put them in gun racks at the school so they could go hunting with them at night to go home. Didn't have shootings like this in schools, and they didn't have to fortify schools. And my frustration is none of us, I would say both sides of the political equation, nobody wants to talk about what's changed in our society, what's going on, that we're getting to a level that our young kids have so much hatred built up in them to almost turn evil, literally turn evil, to go kill innocent people like that. There's something at play here that it seems like we're putting Band-Aids on trying to fix something that there's something else causing it, but we're not talking about the cause. And I think we need to have that discussion along with the fortifying of schools. The background check thing, I think, does need to be looked at. How we cross that bridge with the mental illness issue, I don't know. Smarter minds than mine will have to come up with a way to do it, but we've got to do it, because it's just common sense would tell you that's just not going to work. And I've had personal experience down in Escanaba here where I live. I had an experience like this where somebody that was known was actually on medication, was actually had mental illness, mental problems, and yet was fortified with weapons, knives and guns and you name it. And that person lived by me, and my children ran into him. He never did anything, but he acted strange. I'll just put it that way. Inappropriate maybe is a better word, but yet when I called the state police at that particular time, they came back and said there was nothing they could do because there was no tools in their toolbox to deal with it. He had a right to have what he had, so their suggestion was to have my kids at the time were snowmobiling over in that area, and I own a 40 here, and they were over on the edge of my 40, and they suggested block that trail off and stay over on this side of the 40. So,
well, and that brings
up, we got to fix that.
Yeah, that brings up one of the big points in this discussion. How do you proceed against somebody who hasn't done anything wrong because you suspect they might do something wrong? How do you do that without violating due process?
Right, there's the key. But I do think if someone is struggling with mental illness, now there's other people that will say, well, there's certain types of mental illness that would never lead somebody to do something like this. Okay, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert in that field. But clearly somebody is deranged and has something wrong with them when they're willing to go to the level we've seen on TV in our schools. So there's got to be a way to throw a flag up there. There must be. And the problem I see, Todd, is the Republicans and Democrats, we go to our corners. Instead of trying to find some common ground, we keep, you know, I'm going to protect it, and I am, I'll protect the amendment. And that's it. You know, then you run to your corner and Second Amendment. The Democrats want to run to gun control, and that's going to solve it, and that's about all they talk about. There's so much more to this, and we're not talking about the meat and potatoes in the middle. I think it's something's really wrong.
Yeah, and it's not anything that we're going to solve real quickly either. But, Tom, thank you for calling in again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And you drive safe as you head back down to Lansing later on, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Senator Tom Casperson, you're on KBAR 102.